Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor. All right, folks. Clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben.
In this episode of the Ben Griffin Fitness Show.
Now we're understanding there's a lot more in these movements here. It's a lot to do with organ motility and mobility as well. And we now understand that for organs to be moving, how the different exercises will stretch certain fascial pathways and connections with liver, with stomach, all the things that we'd never even thought about in terms of strength and conditioning are all now being found to be a huge part of how our health and how our body operates.
You go through and do an assessment. It takes about 30 minutes where you measure your actual physical body. You answer some questions on your personal health history, on your environment and lifestyle factors. And it will go through and calculate your gene expression. And this is where we've been able to do this. It's taken us over 10 years.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power, speed, mobility, balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey Hey, folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and you may remember the podcast episode entitled High Protein Breakfast Myths, Genetic Testing for Exercise, Demystifying Brainwaves, and More. And in that episode, I interviewed Matt Ryman, and I interviewed him about this website called PH360. And PH360, as we discussed during that episode, is a smart health app that allows you to adjust things like your fitness and your diet and even like where you go on vacation and what time you take vacations and things like that, all based on your epigenetics and your genes. And after that interview, I got a ton of questions and comments and feedback about the online dashboard that Matt and I discussed. And people were a little bit concerned. Many of you were writing in about how you were getting daily recommendations for soy lecithin and sunflower oil. Some of you were concerned about high amounts of animal protein that you don't feel you do well with, but that the app was recommending to you, to exercise recommendations that you didn't think were customized. And so I thought that we should go ahead and get Matt back on to kind of clarify how to use this and also to answer some of the concerns that you have. And just a real quick reminder about who Matt actually is. Matt is Australian, as you're going to realize very quickly here in just a moment, as soon as he begins talking. He has a master's degree in applied human sciences, and he's been educating doctors and health professionals and fitness experts around the world for about 10 years. And a couple of years ago, in 2013, he founded the Ultimate Human Foundation, which is a nonprofit with a mission to transform world health and assist in eliminating chronic pain and disease from the planet. He's founded 7 different businesses in health and medicine over the past 10 years, most recently this PH360, which we're going to be talking about today. So, Matt, welcome back to the show.
Beautiful, Ben. Thanks so much for having us back here. I love talking with you and your audience. I'm looking forward to sharing more about what we're up to today on this call.
Yeah, and this is kind of a unique episode because it is a video episode in which there is a screenshot video of Matt going through the PH360 dashboard. So if you are listening and not watching, you're probably going to want to go to the show notes to check out the video at some point. And you can access the show notes and all the information for everything that Matt and I talk about today, as well as the previous podcast episode with Matt, over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. So I think we should probably just jump right in and get our hands dirty with this dashboard. So Matt, to begin here, when I'm logged into my PH360 dashboard, which if you're watching the video, you can see it right here in front of us. There's 8 things that I can look at: food, fitness, place, social, mind, talents, track, and update. Now, obviously, 6 of these, food, fitness, place, social, mind, and talents, are kind of the ones we're going to focus on today, because the track and the update are more related to the way that a user would use the platform. But can we just jump right into food and what happens when I click on food?
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. Well, I think I really encourage those who didn't get a chance to listen to our last call to do that first, if this is the first time you're listening to me and Ben have a chat, because it's really important to get the context. And for 2 minutes, if you are new, we're referring to the main epigenetic areas in your life. And epigenetics refers to things outside of your genes, your environment and your lifestyle. And that includes the foods that you eat, the exercise you do, the climate that you live in, the interactions you have socially, the way your mind works, and what you do with your time or your career or your natural talents and hobbies. And they're the main areas that really influence the way that your genes are expressed or switched on or off. And we've now able to understand which things in these areas can actually switch the good genes on and the bad genes off. And that's what this platform is actually. It's a way that your body is actually talking to you to show you what's right in all these areas of epigenetics. So that's a very quick context for those that haven't heard. And I really encourage you guys to go back and listen to that.
Cool.
So understand more about it.
Cool. So when I click on food, the first thing that it shows at the top is foods to keep me vibrant today. For example, when I'm there right now, it's showing buffalo meat, lemon, and halibut or white fish. Now, I think that there are some people that were writing in that were concerned that there's basically like a, you know, some random food generator just throwing out random foods and that these aren't customized. But a few things, a two-part question here. Number one, why would those three foods be recommended as foods to keep me vibrant today on this Friday in November when we're recording? And second part of the question is, why does the buffalo meat have 5 smiley faces on it, and then the lemon and the whitefish has 3 smiley faces on it?
Great questions, Ben. Let me talk you through the food section really quickly, and it'll answer all those questions and lots more. So the smiley system here is a way that we've, based on a lot of feedback actually, so 5 smileys is a food that you can eat all the time that's really healthy for you. Down to 1 smiley, that's a food that you might eat once every couple of weeks. If you have a frownie is a food that you want to avoid from your diet most of the time. And if you have 5 frownies, it's really bad and really not good for you. And so these are just an overview, if you like, for people who want to check in just really quickly to see what's a couple of foods that are really going to keep me vibrant today, or what's some things I really need to look at avoiding this week that are on my list. You've got a healthy eating tip, and every single time you log in, you get new information just so that everybody's aware. This is really a way that you can now start to focus on yourself. And everybody gets up in the morning, they may read the news, they may watch the junk that's on TV. This is really a way now where you can actually read or learn information about yourself. It's almost like a magazine about you. Instead of reading magazines about the Kardashians and whatever else is up to in the world, you can actually learn it every single day about you, which is really cool. There's a lot more, reading more, you can have a look at your healthy eating tips. It'll give you some great tips about all the different things. And again, every day this is different. But you've got a food guide here that gives you an overview of really an understanding of what you want to do. So this is actually Ben's profile live. Ben's offered to donate his body for science today, which he often does, which is great. So green leafy vegetables, trying to eat one serving every day, lunch or dinner. It'll give you some tips in here. Root vegetables, citrus, dried fruits for Ben. Maybe ideal at breakfast or as a snack before 6 p.m. a few times a week. Whole grains are important, rice, proteins, white fish, etc. So it'll go through a lot of different things. Specifically for meats, red meats, white meats, eggs.
Yeah, and that's all pretty apparent. But I want to get a little bit more specific. Why would, for example, let's just jump into the nitty gritty science here of epigenetics. Why would, let's say, buffalo meat be such a highly recommended food for me and my profile?
Cool. So there's a section here that's called full foods list. If you click on that, this goes into the specifics. So you'll see here, we'll get to buffalo meat in a sec, Ben, but you'll see here that there's all the specific foods that are actually listed out for you. And this is all based on your gene expression. So this is extremely different for every single person. There's not one single person on the planet that gets the same information because we're all different. We have very, very different genes and very different gene expressions, which is important. So under each of the foods, you can click on, like carrots, for example. It'll tell you about this food. So for those that aren't familiar with something like buffalo meats, or if you come down to something less that people might be less familiar with, royal jelly, for example, people might not be familiar with, it'll tell you about the food, what it is, and it'll give you an explanation. And it'll actually go through specifically why it's on your list. And this will tell you specifically for you why this is a food that is important. And it will go through a whole heap of different things with all the references that are in there as well as to why, in this case, royal jelly is great for you.
So what I'm curious about is, and I see why it says, why is this on my list? And it says it's healthy because lean red meat provides many of the healthy nutrition benefits like protein and zinc, et cetera. Protein is essential for the body's muscles and tissues. But I mean, is that because it detects based off of my genes that I have potential for a protein deficiency? Does it think I could be deficient in iron? Or is this just like a blanket statement that buffalo meat is good, therefore you should eat it? Like, where does the personalization stuff actually come in?
Yeah, exactly. So what happens to get to this point in time is you go through, for those that aren't familiar with this so far, you go through and do an assessment. It takes about 30 minutes where you measure your actual physical body. You answer some questions on your personal health history, on your environment and lifestyle factors. And it will go through and calculate your gene expression. And this is where we've been able to do this. It's taken us over 10 years with an amazing team of international specialists in genetics, in molecular biology, all the way through to Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine. Everything is factored into this. It's all evidence-based. And the information that you get from your assessment gives us an understanding about the genes you have expressed at this point in time. So the expression of your genotype is called your phenotype. And what it does is measure your phenotype and quantify your phenotype, which means we can talk to you about all the different epigenetic areas. So we understand from a layer of science that's included in this called nutrigenomics that looks at the way that foods affect gene expression. This goes through and we understand all the different levels of certain hormones in your body, the balance or imbalances of vitamins and minerals. We understand about even the neurochemistry that's going on as well as so many different processes in your body by understanding your gene expression. And so then you have the foods that go through and we understand if you're deficient in certain minerals, for example, vitamins, then there's certain foods that are healthy for that. But we need to consider how they interact with other foods as well in your body. And so buffalo meat here, I can almost guarantee that this is pretty uncommon that you have buffalo meat as five smileys for most people. So this would be a specific thing for you, Ben, that's here. And I'd be interested to see to hear any feedback from your other listeners if they do have, you know, five smileys for buffalo meat. But it'll tell you specifically for you why it's here. And for some people, you'll see on your profile, buffalo meat will be a five frowny. Some people it might be a one frowny. Some people it might be a two smiley. Some people it might be a five smiley.
So why? What kind of person would get, because like for me, when it says foods for me to avoid this week, it's showing like a bunch of junk food, like hot tamales and stuff like that. And it says foods with MSG or E621. And that's the same as MSG, I believe. It's just another name for MSG. And then it shows a bunch of fried foods, like a big pile of fried buffalo chicken wings, and then caramel, like a bunch of these like caramel candy squares. Would healthy foods, like you said, buffalo meat in some cases might have five frownies, but that's what I wanted to ask you. Like when it says foods for me to avoid, like it's obvious that I wouldn't eat any of these foods anyways. Like I would expect maybe, you know, for something like a food high in goitrogens, like, you know, kale or something like that to occasionally appear on someone's profile if they show that they could have an epigenetic trigger pulled for low thyroid or something along those lines. Like do healthy foods ever appear on the foods for you to avoid?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I'll show you this in your profile, but this is just so that you know, and everyone listening in, this is for your buffalo meat. This is where it will list out all the factors as to why specifically for you it's listed on your list. And this will be different for everyone, particularly for you around vitamin B12 and the B6s and 12s there for you, Ben. That would be a big factor as to why this is on there for you. I know that just, you know, we've had a couple of different chats as we go over time. And it will go through a lot of that. So that's each food will have an explanation as to why it's there. You'll see this is the smileys is the foods to eat under the section. And you can click on your foods to avoid if you want to have a look at those. You can go to different sections here. So you want to look at grains or your meats or nuts or drinks or dairy or whatever else that you might think is good for you to eat or not good for you to eat. And you can actually go and find out. So you might say, am I gluten intolerant, for example? So I'm going to check out my grains. And I want to check out what's foods to avoid in my grains list.
Wait, but you won't know if you're gluten intolerant based on genetic testing, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll know if gluten is something you need to avoid. Or
I thought that was a blood test.
No. This is you don't get any more accurate than gene expression. So your genes determine how your blood's made up. So this is at its core essence, if you like, we're understanding if things are good for you, if you're going to be intolerant to sort of things, or if you're able to process it. And so out of all the grains that exist to avoid, in the existing, these are two things that you should be avoiding. And that's literally the two things. If you go to foods that you can eat, for example, for you, this will show all the things you've got. You know, you can eat quite a lot of different grains that are very, very healthy for you, including wheat.
So some of the vegetables for me, like that only have one smiley face, would be like seaweed. I actually eat a ton of nori. And beetroot and arugula. Does that mean I shouldn't eat those foods or they're not as good for me as the foods that have a bunch of smiley faces?
Right. So if we go to the one smiley face here, this is going to be eaten two times a month or less. So once every couple of weeks. So if healthy foods like corn, like beetroot, turnips, these are the foods that aren't to be eaten very often for you. Certain types of mushrooms, kale chips, which are commercial there. But these are the foods here that are healthy, eggplant. That you shouldn't be eating very often at all. So this is where to answer your question before, zucchini flowers, mung bean sprouts, all these apparently healthy foods, you shouldn't be eating very often. And this is the very specific genius, I guess, behind what we can now understand with gene expression is that what we used to think of as healthy fruits and vegetables are not healthy for everybody. In some cases, I think we talked maybe on our last call about the latest research that shows tomatoes can now cause cancer. It's not about is the food good or is the food bad. It's actually about the person. It's about
the food. Is the food good for you or is the food bad for you?
Right, exactly. Okay. So that's okay. What this is. So green olives, you could go and argue that they're fantastic for lots of people or not great for lots of people, but it actually just matters what's great for you. And what we're able to do here is to tell you exactly what's right for you and understand that these foods here change as you change. So when you go and update your profile in 2 months' time, the foods that you're seeing here, or in a week's time or in 2 weeks' time, the foods that you see here will be different.
Yeah, and I'm going to admit that I have not followed the rules that PH360 has laid down for me in terms of really paying attention to eating the foods with the more smileys. And I was kind of putting that off until I had this more detailed discussion with you. But if any of you listening in, if you've already like taken a deeper dive into PH360 and tried just eating the foods that are high in the smiley faces and the foods that are listed as keeping you vibrant for that specific day, let me know in the comment section over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. Matt, I have one other question for you related to foods before we move on to some of the other components. And that is, this says foods to keep me vibrant today. Would the foods that keep me vibrant today, would these change like in, say, like a month if I were updating my data? Like, for example, I know that as you update, you can take new measurements of different body parts. You can, upload changes in your health conditions, et cetera. Is that going to change those foods, or are those foods kind of set in stone?
No, that changes all the time. And this will change. This is, if you think of this is just a dashboard. It's what we call, this is just a portal into what's actually shown in your full profile. So if you click on any of these, it will actually just take you to your full foods list. And show you all about this food and why it's on your list. And then it just brings you into everything else that's showing up about lemons, et cetera, et cetera. So if you think of this, this is like a dashboard, a food dashboard that just gives you a quick snapshot. And it's to learn about what's good for you. Most people, if they've got just 30 seconds to check in on their way to work or before breakfast, they'll go, oh, cool, these are good things to keep in mind. These are things to avoid. And when you talk about this, Ben, actually, you're obviously very in tune with your health and life, and a lot of your audience is. You'd be surprised at how many people in the world go, oh, really? I can't eat caramel. Or, wow, fried foods aren't great for me because I eat them all the time. It's something to, when you're very aware, it makes sense. But for a lot of people, they're not even aware. And so these things are important to be, to be bringing to people's attention. And you'll see, for some people, there'll be kale on here. There'll be tomatoes on here. There'll be broccoli that's on here. All the healthy foods that show up. It's not always just what we consider the obvious junk foods. So okay. Every single thing in the foods is personalized. There's not one single food that's the same for anyone as it comes out. And the most important thing about your gene expression, as we talked about last time, your gene expression can actually change in less than 20 minutes. and so gene expression changes all the time. So Ben Greenfield right now, compared to Ben Greenfield in 2 weeks' time, will have a different food list because you're a different person. Maybe different climate, different temperature, different stress. You may be working out more or less. You may have been more or less dehydrated. You may have been under more or less stress at work or whatever it might be. You're a different person. Your genes are different. And it's important that we understand that our requirements are different as we change. So this program changes as you change.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you about the fitness stuff now. Jumping into the fitness section if you click on that. So at the top, it's got my fitness tips for health. It's got a suggestion for a power hour. It's got some stretches. It has my exercise list. So, for example, if I click on my exercise list, then it gives me, similar to the foods, a bunch of exercises that have a bunch of smiley faces versus exercises that don't have a lot of smiley faces. So if I go to even like, if I click on exercises that have smileys low to high, then it will show me, one second here, it shows me some exercises that it doesn't like. How is it choosing which exercises are good for me and which exercises are not good for me?
Yeah, so this again is based on gene expression, and this is a really, I guess, a big advancement that we now know. Because it looks into a lot more detail than the standard strength and conditioning that we always are always concerned about. And you have obviously worked with a lot of high-profile people. As we talked about, I worked with Olympic athletes and a lot of national-level sports players. And we often come from a strength and conditioning point of view. We look at how we can actually improve power or improve endurance or improve strength. And that's how we kind of determine our exercise programs. What we're now understanding through gene expression is there's a lot more to that for health. And what we look at is how you can actually move certain joints that will be stiffer, certain fulcrums in the body that may be having more load. For you specifically, Ben, it's around cervical and thoracic areas that are going to be a lot more prone to stiffness. In fact, you're more prone, you know, just from our conversations previously, you're more prone to having calcification deposits around through upper thoracic and cervical areas. So for you to be moving those joints regularly is really important. But we also know that you're going to be restricted around that area with fascial connections and also with the actual nerve and vascular bundles that slide and glide and should move. You know, as you extend your arm, your nerves should slide and glide a couple of centimeters or almost an inch as you move. And this is something that we know that you're more likely to be restricted in those areas as you go over time. And so the exercises that are important for you are not necessarily, you know, if we decided that, or if it was decided that you need to improve your, you know, in the strength or the endurance of your muscles between your scapula, for example, because you're more likely to be, you know, over-dominant in the chest area and less dominant in the back area. This is a fairly common conversation in the exercise fields. Instead of giving you an exercise that you do regularly, like a seated row, for example, you might want to do a single arm row, because what that's going to do is encourage rotation through that area, and it's going to encourage, even better than that, would be like a low to high, like a single arm dumbbell raise, for example, or dumbbell snatch. That's going to be moving your spine in an area through multiple movements, through rotation, through flexion, through side flexion. And that's going to be something that's going to help mobilize the joints. It's going to help mobilize the neural system and vascular bundles that exist, as well as strengthening the muscles in that area. And so this now brings us this conversation that we're actually able to suggest exercises for you. And this is all done based on gene expression that are going to be really good for you, for your health, not just for your strength. And so you'll notice when you go through your profile, you can select your goals if you want to, you know, build muscle or tone or, you know, lose fat or whatever it might be for your goals. So it considers your goals, but it also factors in a big layer of health. And so this will help you get healthy and help you maintain health while you're still achieving your goals. And that's why you'll notice that there's a lot of specific things that are here that are different to many other strength and conditioning programs. So it's a new paradigm, if you like, but we're bringing the same conversations with goals, you know, to the standard strength and conditioning conversation.
Okay.
Personalized.
So what you're saying is when it gives me just like one smiley face for say like yoga, downward facing dog, right? Like I was doing a bunch of that this morning. But what you're saying is that based off of the movement patterns and the body metrics that I uploaded when I did the initial questionnaire with PH360, those exercises aren't as favorable for me as, well, let me go to like one that has more smileys on it. Or I don't know if you have one with more smileys on it pulled up in front of you.
Is a wood chopper, for example.
Okay, so yeah, like push-ups, for example, have like five smileys for me. And that's all based off of my initial questionnaire.
Right, exactly. And so you'll notice there's different types of push-ups. Like some it might say, I know, let's bring up push-ups here, hang on. So you can grab if you're looking at chest, for example, and sort through, you'll notice that there'll be some parts. So like some sort of push-ups won't be great for you. And there'll be push-ups, no doubt, probably, that will be great for you. Like a push-up plus, for example, for you, which is looking at the difference in...
Yeah, it says like a weighted clap push-up I should avoid, but a bench push-up or a TheraBand press I can do.
Exactly. Okay. So there's all the specifics in there as to... This goes into so many different factors. So even with the TheraBand, this is now looking at more of the PNF style movement, like the proprioneuros.
Yeah, with the idea being that those are going to increase my risk of injury based on my specific movement patterns.
They're going to improve your movement patterns to decrease your risk of injury.
The good ones are.
The good ones are, yeah. So the five smileys are the ones that you want to put in your routines. And the one smiley is the ones you can still do, but just do them every now and then.
So that's based a little less on epigenetics and based a little bit more on like my movement patterns, right?
It's based on, so epigenetics looks at the different ways that you'll actually improve the cellular health that you have. So this takes into account now the neuromuscular system. So it's your nerves, it's your vascular system, it's your muscles, it's your joints, it's your bones, and it's also your brain function, as to the certain areas of the brain in your homunculus that actually represent different parts of your body and how often you need to move those. And we know even, you know, in PH360, you'll see a section soon in the mind that knows about different regions of your brain that are most dominant, different brain frequencies you're most dominant in, and different regions that get more attention than less. And so this even factors into that. So it actually wakes up different parts of your brain and different parts of your body by the exercises it suggests. So it's very, very heavily focused on epigenetics, even though when you look at it at face value, it just seems like, oh, it's just a push-up. There's actually so much science and so much data. In fact, there's 10,000 data points behind this that actually decide which exercise you have show up. It's very, very specific and very personalized and very different for everybody.
Do you have any case studies of people who have actually, because I understand that there's science behind it, but like in terms of it fleshing itself out in war world circumstances, you know, someone doing just the exercises with all the smiley faces versus someone choosing more of the exercises with the frowns. Like, do you have people that you followed, that you studied to see how they respond when they do this versus when they do an exercise routine that isn't based on their epigenetics?
Yeah, we look at this. We actually use this. We're doing studies in Australia at the moment with national level athletes in Australian rules and in rugby league. And so we're very excited about how it comes from the standard strength and conditioning program to this. And it goes, it almost goes against what we, you know, what we know as effective in strength and conditioning. As you know, we both worked in these fields for many, many years. And a routine that you would assume for someone to get big and strong, where you do your heavy weights and you do your certain programs, for someone to do different things, which doesn't include that, to have better results in terms of hypertrophy, in terms of strength, in terms of power outputs, it's almost, you know, it's saying, how can that even be possible? It's different to what we thought. And so now we're understanding there's a lot more, and in these movements here, it's a lot to do with organ motility and mobility as well. And we now understand that for organs to be
moving... With organ motility and mobility?
Yeah, actually how the different exercises will stretch certain fascial pathways and connections with liver, with stomach, all the things that we never even thought about in terms of strength and conditioning are all now being found to be a huge part of how our health and how our body operates in terms of our biometrics and our biochemistry. So there's wow. So much more understanding.
I would love to embed some of that research in the show notes for this episode. If you have anything you can send me after the episode that I can link to in terms of some of those studies, I would love to go see some of this stuff, especially related to like organ function and the type of exercises that you do. Cause I've always wondered, like, you know, people have said, for example, like dive bomber pushups, do dive bomber pushups cause they're really good for your digestion. And I've always wondered, you know, cause I'll do some dive bomber pushups in the morning, if that's just woo woo and people are saying that cause you're kind of swooping back and forth, or if there's actual research that shows that it affects the fascia or the liver or, you know, gut function or something like that. So
If you have
some of that kind of stuff, send it over to me.
Yeah, cool. We're doing a lot more research on that in Europe at the moment, actually, with the organ function. And we do research that looks at the way that the organs move. So we'll do an ultrasound of the organ, how it sits, where it moves. We'll go ahead and implement an exercise protocol, and then we'll look at the change in the way that the organ sits and the way the organ moves, and then measure the function. We measure a lot of different objectives out of that. So
That's really interesting.
It's pretty new science, but it's very, very exciting, and we're learning lots and lots about that and how it actually, you know, our old paradigms of what we all learn at university and schools is very different now to what we understand from what it used to be.
Okay, so how about place? Let's go ahead and shift to the little picture of the house on my profile that says place. And when I click on that, it says, for example, the best places for me. And it says, like, I may prefer environments that inspire progress and efficiency. I may enjoy having time to myself, and I may either live alone or benefit from having my own space where I can have privacy and do my own thinking. It's like a little horoscope. and it gives my best time to rejuvenate. It has February 14th through the 20th circled as the best time for me to rejuvenate. And it also has my ideal vacation. It says that, for example, I may like places that are windy but provide plenty, that are not windy but provide plenty of fresh oxygenated air. For example, the Rocky Mountains. And it says the time of year for me is during the third week of February. Now, I know for a fact that there are a lot of people listening in right now who are snickering about this. And how the heck would it know that Ben Greenfield should take his vacation in the Rocky Mountains in the third week of February? How does that even work?
Right. It's a great question. So what this does is a layer of science that's called geomedicine. And it understands, I can't remember if I used
geomedicine?
Geomedicine.
Okay.
I can't remember if I used this example last call because it was a little while ago, but if you think of a very obvious Ben Greenfield sitting here right now, wherever you are in the world, I'm not even sure, but wherever you're sitting.
I'm just at home, dude, just here in my underwear.
Just chilling out. Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah.
So you jump on a plane to Antarctica. You get off the plane, you're freezing cold in your underwear, and you're shivering. You just want to get in the taxi. You want to get to the hotel. You feel like having some warm bowl of soup to warm you up. You jump off a plane in Africa. You're out there in your underwear going, hey, everybody, this is fantastic. We're on the safari. Now, give me a fresh juice. Give me a glass of water. And so you're understanding that Ben Greenfield is the same build. Ben Greenfield sitting at home in his underwear right now. And in a cold climate, you need very different foods and very different activities than you do if you're in a warm environment. So in Antarctica, not just you wanted the warm soup, you actually a very introverted personality. Your social interactions are different. The way your brain chemistry works is different in a cold climate. You didn't meet anyone at all. You jumped in a taxi, went to the hotel. In Africa, you jump off and you met three new friends in the first 3 minutes. You want a fresh juice and away you go. You're open, you're extrovert, you're ready for action, you're fun, excited. So you're a completely different person in a different environment, in a different climate than what you are. So cold versus warm, you're the same Ben Greenfield, same jeans, same everything, same underwear. You're just a very different person. And so that's geomedicine. It brings in the fact that the climates affect who we are. They affect what we need in terms of our foods. They affect how our brain works. They affect who we are socially. They affect how we perceive stress, even how our mind works. This is all geomedicine. And this is what we bring into the conversation here. It's a very, very scientific field. There's a lot of great research and evidence behind this. And we understand, based on the different brain regions that work for you, different personality that we have, we know all about your personality without you even answering a personality profile, because we measure your gene expression. It's a really amazing field that we're able to bring forward now. But this can tell you all about the things that you like doing, time to yourself, you know, living, you know, having your own space with privacy. You know, all those sorts of things are really important for you to be able to, you know, function optimally. But we also be able to factor in the fact, you know, we understand where your immune system's at. It's a science that's called chronobiology. And it looks at the different, everybody's probably heard by now of the circadian rhythm, different cycles throughout the day. Different cycles of each cell has a different rhythm and different function. And we now know very specifically about the certain cells in your body, when they best work, when they need to rejuvenate, and when your body as a you know, collective group of organisms is at its lowest point with your immune system throughout the year, and when you need to rejuvenate. And that's what this is here. Best time to rejuvenate is actually, this is when your immune system is at its lowest for you, and this is when you're most likely to get sick. If you were to have a cold or have a flu, it's probably going to be around February, around this sort of time. And that's where it's very amazing how we can predict that, but it's very, very accurate. And we always get tons and tons of feedback saying, oh my God, how do you guys know I just had my cold or just got sick at that time of year? It's because when you're lowest. And we highlight that to you so that you can be aware of that and you can be much more focused on staying healthy at that time of year. We understand the climate that's best for your body. And so for here, we understand like the Rocky Mountains is an example of a great climate for you. So this is where your body isn't working hard at all. It's really perfect. It's not windy, but your fresh oxygenated air is something that really keeps your body and your cells healthy. So yeah, there's 50 different examples of places you could go like that. The Rocky Mountains is just an example. But it's really healthy for your body. And so that would be the ideal environment for you to live in. And I think you probably live somewhere similar to that sort of environment, I think, Ben, from memory. You live in the mountains and you live in some sort of place with fresh oxygenated air. That's really for your body.
I do.
And it means that you can be healthy in that space.
I picked the right spot. Followed my gut. Interesting. Okay. And the best time to rejuvenate is third week of February. This is really interesting. Like there's so many things to try based on this, you know, and then I'll be honest with you, man, like a big part of it is like the placebo effect, right? Like if I go take a vacation in the third week of February in the Rocky Mountains, probably going to feel good either way, but it'd be interesting to like take a vacation to Thailand in the fourth week of March and see if I feel quite as good or not. It'd be really interesting. So
yeah, absolutely. We'd love to see some feedback from you.
Yeah. Lots of things to try. Okay. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's click on social. And when I click on social, at the top there, it's kind of like my social environments. Like it says, visit somewhere that is intellectually stimulating, like a trade show. I don't know if that's intellectually stimulating for me. It's more like shoot myself in the head.
If you went to a good enough one, I don't know if they exist over here or not. But yeah, if you went to one that was an example, basically this is saying that it's understanding the areas of the brain that work the most. It's understanding what you like and what intrigues you and keeps you curious.
Here we go. It says to be stimulated in a social situation, I might like to hang out with those who are goal-oriented. That's something that drives my wife nuts, because a lot of times like I'll only want to hang out with other guys who are like big thinkers or who want to go like leave a legacy or achieve big things. And sometimes people think I'm just like some arrogant ass because I get bored so often. And like when I'm in social situations with people who just like don't want to achieve big things, I sometimes get just bored. Maybe that is a personality problem on my part, but now I see PH360 is reinforcing that. It's telling me I might like to hang out with those who are group oriented, join a mastermind group or an entrepreneur alliance, whatever that is, attend business networking activities for successful people.
So what this is saying, you bring a great point, Ben, and you're aware, I think for those who didn't hear our last call, Our mission is huge. We're looking to transform world health. We're rolling out a 35-year plan to actually achieve that by 2050. And one of the most important things of that is for people to understand who they are. And that's what PH360 really is finding out who you are so that you know what to do to be happy and healthy. And that really is our message and our mission. And what this does is help you understand, like in this case, Ben, to say, you know, maybe my wife says, you know, I shouldn't stop. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I shouldn't do that. What this is telling you, this is your body talking to you. This is saying, hey, Ben, guess what? This is normal for you. This isn't unnormal. This isn't different. This isn't wrong. This isn't right. This is just normal for you. So for you to be stimulated in social circumstances, this is saying you need to hang out with people who are going. So this is, you need to hang out with people who are doing big things, you know, big mastermind entrepreneurs, you know, networking for successful people. This is saying that's normal for you, because if you're not doing this, you'd be likely to be around bored or over time depressed or whatever else, because you feel like you're supposed to be achieving big things, but you're not in those environments socially. And so that's where you'll thrive and be motivated and be driven to succeed in life if you're around these environments socially. If you're not, it's the opposite. And some people, and everybody's very different. Other people, that would be the worst thing in the world for them to be around all these people. They'd feel completely out of place. For you, it's normal. And that's just, it's understanding that we're all very different and we all have different social strengths. But socially, that actually, it changes your gene expression. So if you be around these people, if you're on a desert island, for example, with a few guys that were, that didn't have any drive or any passion for life, they were just wanting to, to be street sweepers their whole life, and that was something that they were just focused on, and that was great, and they were happy, and they were talking about football.
Yeah, or maybe who just like not street sweepers, but just like for example, like my pet peeve, and again, like maybe this is just a personality problem with me. It's guys that they want to work 9 to 5 and get off work and go watch football, and that's just it. Like, and that's what they're happy with, and I just like have such a hard time connecting with folks like that.
You do, because your normal is connecting with folks who are out there driving big change. That's normal for you. You need to be inspired. You need to be motivated, because that switches on the genes for you to actually keep you going. What that actually does from a scientific point of view is causes a release of the hormone that you're familiar with called dopamine. And you drive, when you're around these people, you actually get more dopamine released. You get more of a feel-good hormone. It drives you to succeed. That's why you always have a big things you want to accomplish. And when you achieve them, you get your hit of dopamine as well. It makes you feel great and you want to keep doing it. Other people don't have that same mechanism in their body. And in fact, being around those people, they'll feel maybe inferior or less interested or feel like they're failing versus you, who feels like, great, it's striving, it's encouraging me, it's motivating me, it's inspiring me. And that's just a normal thing for you. So everybody's really different on this. If you're on a desert island with Richard Branson, you'd be in your element. If you're on a desert island with the guys who do the 9 to 5 and watch football, you'd be bored. It's just who you are. And it's not a problem with your personality. It's just your personality. It's your understanding that's normal for you. It's great for you. And so you can harness that concept and say, great, well, what would I do? Well, I need to hang out with more people like that. Join the mastermind, jump on some calls, get some friends that are really around that and really driving big change, because that's where you're going to be inspired all the time. It's really helpful.
No, I'm part of a mastermind. That's like one of the happiest I am from like a social standpoint is when I'm hanging out with the guys who are in my mastermind. So that's really interesting. Really interesting. Okay. Next we've got talents. And when I click on talents, it goes into like talents that may come naturally to me. I may be a deep thinker, capable and disciplined. I may enjoy being busy and devoted to a project, sometimes beyond my capabilities. That's true. I may be deeply disappointed if I feel I have failed, etc. And then it's got connect with, like the people I should connect with, people who enjoy planning parties and dinners. Try a little, and then like food for thought, like a little like inspirational quote for me. Now where do the talents come in? And like a big reason I ask that is because it just seems like this stuff's very, very fickle. Like it's such a soft science. Like this could change so much. And again, like I want to hear about the science and I want to hear about the research that would, for example, be able to take the genetic data that I've imported here and all of my updates and then tell me something like the talents that come natural to me or who I should connect with or what I needed to do better at. Like it says, I need to use my organizing skills to set projects in motion. So to fill me in on this whole talents thing.
Yeah, for sure. So this comes into a lot of the correlation between your hormones that are most dominant. We understand that we talked a little bit about dopamine before. So dopamine's a big one for you. I think we talked on a previous call about the prefrontal cortex being a very big focus for you in terms of brain regions. That's very focused on organizing and logic and analytics and all those sorts of things, which is why it talks about here, you're a deep thinker, you're capable, you're disciplined, you want to be busy on a project. You like to challenge yourself so that you can feel like you're achieving things, again, all related to dopamine and prefrontal cortex. And you'll set your expectations will always be high, which means that if you don't achieve them, you'll keep going to achieve them. So this is all the science behind the hormones that are here and the brain regions that are here. Connecting with people, this is where what this actually gives an insight into here. People who enjoy planning parties and dinners allow me to focus on my natural talents. So for you, you're someone who likes to go to the parties and dinners because you like to be, you know, social, not meeting thousands and thousands of people all the time, but to go to get some good connections. You know, if you're meeting Richard Branson and Donald Trump or those sort of guys at parties and dinners would be great. But if you had to organize them, it would detract from who you are. It would mean, hey, look, if someone else organizes it, then I'm super happy to be there, but I don't want to have to do the dishes and do all the cleaning up and do all the phone calls to organize, you know, booking the place and all that sort of stuff. That's, you know, you'd prefer to be at the party and dinner and focus on that for you, which is why it's awesome. If you're connecting with people who enjoy planning all that sort of stuff, it means you don't have to do that. You can just be there and you can enjoy the social capabilities without you having to be focused on things that aren't so natural for you. This is with your organization skills. You're very good at organizing because you see the future, you see logic, you see reasoning, you can see how things pan out in advance. This is something that naturally occurs to you that you probably may not even be aware of, but it means that your talents may be highly sought after by many people because they see how you can see things. You have a big vision, you have a big understanding of how the pieces of the puzzle fit together, and you can work towards that, whereas other people don't have that as a natural talent. They have other things. Mm. Other people might be naturally gifted in music and in dance and in singing. You may not be the guy for that. You may be the guy for organizing and big visions and big projects and making a big change and helping inspire others to be fit and healthy like you're doing. So this is going into the science behind the hormones and the science behind the brain regions to understand who you are, what you're naturally good at. And the way this applies to most people's lives is you may be an accountant and sitting behind the desk with no natural light and having headaches and back pain and really hating what you're doing because naturally you're great at being a musician or you're great at being an artist or something like that. Or maybe you're an artist and you're trying to make a living being an artist and you should be an accountant because you're really great at that. Like it's understanding because what we do in society, we go to college, we don't even know, we decide when we're 17 years old what we're supposed to do with our life. We do or don't go to college and we end up doing what we're doing. We often don't think or don't even know what our genius is. And this is really saying this is what your genius is. And the biggest saying that always comes to mind here is from Einstein, that says if a fish went around being judged by its ability to climb a tree, it would think it's stupid. It would follow feeling it's stupid. And that's really what our society's like, is we're trying to do things that we're not good at and we wonder why we're not happy and we can't wait till the weekend. Oh, I'm so sick of work, can't wait till I get there. I don't know why I get headaches and back pain all the time. It's because we're actually doing things we don't enjoy, which changes our neurochemistry, which leads to a lot of the anxiety and depression and all these other problems that we have in the world, just because we're not doing what we love. And this is when you can connect with your purpose and your passion. It's almost like every day, and I'm sure you relate to this, Ben, every day you get up and you do something you love. It's like, how awesome is this? I don't even feel like I work at all. It's something that if you can be doing things you're naturally awesome at and you naturally love, it completely changes your life. And this is based on scientific gene expression.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And actually, a lot of the things that you're saying do describe me. I like to go to the parties. I don't want to be the person who arranges the symposium, but I'm fine with showing up to speak. I don't get a kick out of doing a lot of the organizational type of things, but I am somewhat social in the sense that I do like to get out. I just not right. necessarily in a situation where I'm the person planning it. Okay.
Down here, just quickly for those that are doing it as well, load more. And this is where this almost sounds generic, but this is 100% personalized and not everybody, like no one gets the same results. You can click on load more and this will actually give you a complete fresh new lot of things for you. So this is now another one for you that comes naturally. I love to learn. I'm full of ideas. I may contribute strongly in a profession that allows me to express myself freely. Jobs in which I can travel to discover new places might fulfill my need for adventure and change. So we'll go through different things all the time. Connect with people who are fast and efficient, are good compliments for my work ethics. It'll give you try a little. So keep a journal or spreadsheet with your current list of personal goals and how you'll achieve them. This might be connecting with Richard Branson, you know, next year on a desert island or whatever it might be. So these are new things for in each of the sections. There's more information just for those who want to know more. And again, all of these are passed from all the different places. And it's a lot of great information that's 100% specific to you. And you'll know that everything you read will resonate with you because it's something that's 100% based on you. So I just wanted to share that as well.
Okay, got it. Cool. Now we had also those are the six areas we just went through. Food, fitness, place, social talents. Actually, did we do mind? Did we click on mind yet? One we didn't do. Okay, yeah, there's one more here that I wanted to be able to delve into, and this is mind. what exactly is MIND? Like, I see that it shows like my natural brain function, where I should go to get into the zone. So it says like I need to figure out ways to increase my levels of oxytocin hormone. So I should like pet an animal or hug a loved one or take a frequent hot bath or be very present with others. It also says taking moments to be on your own and recharge may help you. That's true. In moments of stress or in need of rest, as long as these are not too long. Talks about like, you know, even it's saying like stress may cause me to have lower limb spasms or fascial tension of the abdomen and the knee, causing joint pain or stomach distress. That's kind of interesting. I actually get elbow pain and irritable bowel when I'm stressed out. It's really interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
so, sure. You know, and I'll be totally honest with you. Whenever I look at stuff like this and I'm like, oh, that could be me, I always think of like, you know, horoscopes and astrology and stuff like that. And, you know, when you read something and you can always find something in that fortune cookie that seems to speak to you. And like, so that's like the analytical part of me raises an eyebrow at this. So tell me exactly how this works.
Well, the best part of that, Ben, is this will actually tell you that the analytical part of you will think that.
That's how
this is. And it will, and the best way, like for those you know, who do think like that, and there's, you know, about 30 to 40% of the population that are very analytical and very judgmental, that need to know everything. This is the way that you can say, okay, well, I'll go and, you know, refresh this. Again, you can load more at the bottom. And if it was a horoscope and it comes through with 10 different things in a row and they all spot on, then, you know, it's not just a lucky guess. So, you know, if we could actually do this live, it'd be interesting. So discipline is one that comes up. You know, showing control in one's actions, behavior. So if we did load more, it can come up with protective, like you like to keep safe from harm, guarded and secure. So that would be an important thing for where you live and making sure that everything's there. You can, you know, all these results here will be different every time you come up with things. Adventurous, you know, bold, enterprising, willing to take risks, you're courageous. These are things that are very opposite to a lot of people that need to be, you know, completely different to that. There's a lot of people that are pessimistic. You know, they're very like, oh, nothing's ever going to work out, nothing works out for me. You're always going to be hopeful and confident about the future. You're always going to be like, yeah, this will work out. Let's have a crack. I've got this new idea. Let's do it. Attentive to detail. So it goes through a lot of very specific things for you, for your brain function, for how it works, for, you know, the words that describe you, for, you know, your mindfulness side of things. It's just so much detail there that's very specific for you. And again, this is understanding more about your mind. So this is actually, I won't go into too much detail on this because it's usually a long conversation, but this comes down to even like the brain regions that are most dominant for you and how you perceive the senses from the environment. And this is what the mind really is. It's the mind that sits separate to the brain, but it actually is the way that we interpret our environment. So, you know, we get through our senses, we might see something in the world, we might hear something, we might touch something, we might taste something, we might feel something. And this all comes into our nervous system. And then our nervous system processes that information and then causes our cells to actually, you know, activate certain genes or not certain genes based on what's there in our environment. And our, you know, we now know from our studies in epigenetics and in genetics that our genes only determine about 10% of who we are in terms of our health status. We used to think it was, you know, our genes were the answer. We now know that our genes are not the answer. We now know that the way our genes are switched on or off is actually determines who we are in our health status. And so it's understanding all these things around us in our environment and lifestyle, which includes and incorporates our perception of our environment. Again, you know, two people could look at the same event and one could describe it as stressful and one could describe it as exciting and adventurous. Two people can watch the same movie. One thinks it's the best movie in the world. One thinks it's the worst movie in the world. We all have different perceptions about things, and that's where our mind comes into play. You know, it's the same movie. It's the same event. It's the same everything, but we both get very different experiences. One might be upset and scared and terrified from a horror movie. Another person might be excited and, you know, and you know, motivated by a horror movie. We're all very different with how we do it, how we perceive things, and this helps us understand more about our mind and the way that we perceive the world. And that means that we can actually understand more about who we are and the fact that it's normal for us to be, you know, this person. So the way that we see the world is normal for us. We don't have to be, you know, feeling like we're getting judged by other people's opinions. If someone's sitting there telling us, no, that's the worst movie in the world, you shouldn't have liked that movie, but we're sitting here thinking, wow, for some reason that, you know, secretly got me really excited, that horror movie for some reason. It means that it's not us being bad. We don't have to accept other people's judgments or thoughts or beliefs. It's saying, you know what, that's actually me. That's who I am, and I'm right in this situation. And that's a really empowering place to be acting from. And a lot of the new science that's coming out now that's showing how our actual beliefs and our perceptions change our biochemistry. This is a really, really, really interesting area of science that we're fascinated with, is looking at how our perceptions and how we view the world actually changes our neurochemistry and our biochemistry, which actually influences our state of health and our state of stress or our perception of stress, and influences our biochemistry and contributes towards a lot of chronic states of disease. So it's a really new area of science and a really fascinating area that these things, even outside of our contextual brain, you know, which is the organ, is we're understanding how we perceive things, which changes our brain. And that's what we're really able to understand here and have a conversation about. So it's a very scientific, evidence-based. Everything in PHU60 is evidence-based. But it really is understanding how you perceive the world versus how someone else might perceive the world.
Okay, yeah. I would love for you to send me, like, if you can send me some resources, like, especially on, like, the geomedicine and the chronobiology stuff, like, where you should take a vacation and the things we talked about as far as, like, different fitness moves affecting organ status, things along those lines. Like, I would love to post some stuff on the show notes for all the propeller hats out there to dig into. So, again, everything we've talked about so far, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing. If you want to check out basically not only the PH360 platform, but also the previous podcast that I did with Matt that kind of went into more of the some of the science behind the program and some of the how it actually works when you first like do your initial eval and things along those lines. So a few other questions. These are related to some of the concerned comments that I got. So for example, somebody wrote in and it says, "The program suggests low-level exercise for me. It assesses me as morbidly obese and very unfit. However, I am very fit." And then they go on to talk about their huge VO2 max and their biceps and how they're at just 15% body fat. And they say that it's heavily biased towards BMI. It says, "The program is heavily biased towards BMI. As a former elite athlete, my BMI, or body mass index, for those of you listening in, had me at almost obese when I was at just 15% body fat." Obviously a few concerns here from the person from a fitness standpoint. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question actually. And the BMI is actually almost a null and void conversation these days. It's a very old version of how we measured fitness. It's just your height and your weight. So if you were the Rock and you were, you know, full of muscle and huge things, you know, huge muscle, huge biceps, huge legs, you would be, you know, in the obese category. For BMI, it doesn't take into account any differentiation at all between muscle composition, between fat composition. BMI is a very sort of outdated measure, and we don't use that in PHU60. Just I don't know where that was come from. I guess that was an assumption that was made. But BMI is not something that we have relevant. We show it and we display it in here because people like to know what their BMI is. But the body fat and the muscle mass composition is what's important. And so you go in an area, I'll just show you this if you can still see the screen. There's an area called resources that's here. And it actually goes through PHU60 Hangouts, which explains to you how to go out and fill out certain parts of the profile. It explains in detail all the science, like in specific detail behind the foods, if you're looking for even more than that, Ben. How to integrate it into your life. It goes through lots of different things. And there's retreats and courses, all that sort of stuff in there. The YouTube channel with heaps more videos if you want to check it out. But this is where I encourage everybody to go and check out the Hangouts because it talks you through all the specific things in your profile. And then for those who want to know more, you can go and check out all that information. But the answer to the questions there is really the BMI is something that it's in. Hang on, let me just show you. It's in the track section. And it just displays things here. So under body composition, you can look at your BMI or your BFI. So this is yours, Ben. So your BMI, it'll give you an idea where you sit. So you're sitting pretty normal. Someone else may be up here because of their BMI, but it's just a show that's there. What does matter is your BFI, so your body fat index. And for Ben, he's...
Okay, so it's BFI, not BMI.
Right, BFI. So Ben's pretty low on fat mass. In fact, you're at 10.2% body fat. And you can see Ben hasn't actually updated his results there. So usually it will show a graph of how things change over time. So when you do your next one, Ben, you'll see where you're at for that sort of thing. We've got this is an interesting conversation that we have, and I just had this with a whole heap of doctors actually about how we're now able to be more accurate than doing BOD scans and DEXA scans than we are with actually using a tape measure with the algorithms. And so this is some really almost low tech. Ways that we can actually measure our body, but PH360 will be able to give you a breakdown of all your lean muscle mass, your body fat percentages, and that's what we take into account for this. So even though it may have shown for the person who's writing in there that your BMI may have been, you know, way up here, you can just ignore that really, because BMI is a very outdated measure. It's just your height and weight. It's nothing else. It doesn't take into account your body composition. It's not calculated for your results. Just so you're aware, it's to do with your body composition that will actually be influencing the way that your results are shown.
Okay, got it. There's also a concern from a few people that wrote in. So, for example, one person says, eating this diet has left me low energy, headachey, stressed, and depressed. Last night I felt so awful, I had to have an emergency dose of chicken. He said, my program includes a lot of fruit and vegetables and very little meat protein. And what it does include once a week are things like whitefish and shellfish, which leave me feeling like I've eaten nothing. What do you have to say to the people who are concerned about the fact that, you know, other food allergy tests or blood tests have told them to eat one way, and then, you know, PH360 tells them to eat a different way? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, just be aware that PH360 will give you the information of what's right for you. What you choose to do, depending on where you're at, is certainly a choice that you have. And an example there is a lot of people that may be eating a lot of meat, a lot of animal proteins, that may be contributing towards your illness or states of dis-ease or dysfunction in their body. PH360 will actually understand different health of your organs, different processes of toxicity or inflammation that's going on in your body. All this we know in the back end. You don't see this in your profile, but we know this about you based on your gene expression in the back end. And so PH360 will then automatically go through and filter through all the different vitamins and nutrients and phytochemicals and everything in all the different foods, every specific food in the breakdown, and it'll automatically adjust your foods to reduce or eliminate the things that you need to be reducing or eliminating at that point in time to address the toxicity or the inflammation or whatever that's there. So some people, when they fill out the profile, that they may, you know, meet, you know, twice a day or three times a day, and it will show them almost being on a vegetarian diet. And, you know, meat has a lot of pro-inflammatory aspects. It has a lot of other things that can be contributing in a negative way towards, you know, toxicity and inflammation for some people, not for everybody, but for some people. And so it may exclude meat out of a diet for a period of time. The most important thing to understand is whatever's shown for you is based on your health. So when you see that there, you can work towards that and understand that there's never a gun to anyone's head. It's saying this is what's right for you. Take your time to work towards it. You don't have to change overnight. For someone like Ben, you could, because, you know, for his brain and his focus, if he knew something was going to guarantee to change his health status, he could, you know, commit to it and do it. For other people, it's like, whoa, that's too hard. It's going to be too much change for me. It might take them, you know, 2 weeks to actually, or 6 weeks to start to slowly adapt to reducing meat from their diet. But what it's saying is, if PH360 eliminates meat from your diet, it's saying that meat is a contributing factor towards the state of health you currently have. You may not even be aware of some of the toxicity and inflammation, which is most of the time we're not aware of it because it doesn't show. So this is actually reducing that. But when you get into a state of health, when you go and update your measurements, if you went and followed that for 4 weeks, for example, and redid your measurements, you'll notice, and this is a very clear thing you'll see, is that meat will start to be introduced back into your diet. And so it's a regularly updating system. It learns as you learn. It knows about your body as your body changes. And whatever you see right now is not gospel. It's not your diet. It's just what is good for you right at this point in time. And
then that's gonna change. So, for example, like I've told people before, like if I found out that I had very high levels of inflammation combined with a high cholesterol particle count and really high levels of like the LDL, like the more atherosclerotic form of cholesterol, I would probably go vegan for a couple of months. I would just quit eating meat. I'd eliminate dairy. I'd eliminate butter. I'd go very low saturated fat. I'd give my body a chance to clean up. But I wouldn't eat that diet for life because I know it's not optimal for, say, my hormone function or my nervous system, like going very, very low fat. But that would be a dietary phase for me. And what you're saying is that the dietary phase that people find themselves in, if they follow the PH360 recommendations, might change, and initially it may feel like their appetite is not satiated based off some of those food choices.
Right, exactly. And so that is a perfect example, Ben, is what you do. This is your body talking to you, remember. This is when you do the assessment, you'll see the questions it asks you is, what eye color do you have? What hair color do you have? You know, how long is your hand? These are the things it actually does. Like this is the assessment that gives you your results. It's based on your body. And it's your body talking to you, and it's your body saying, hey, at the moment, meat's not great for me to eat. You should be eating less meat and more vegetarian. As a ramification for you getting healthy, sometimes you will go through a period where you detox. And that's, you know, everybody's familiar with detox, is that sometimes you don't feel so great. You know, the most extreme, you know, example of that is, you know, if someone's a heroin addict and they just go cold turkey, they're going to have, you know, the most excruciating time in their life for, you know, for a couple of days until they get on the other side of it. But on the other side of it, they're amazingly healthy and they're back to where they need to be. it's almost, you know, a very minor version of that is that sometimes we feel more tired or sleepy or not happy or whatever it might be as we detox, as the toxicity is released from our body and we're in a state of health. And so this is, I'd encourage everybody to keep an open mind, but don't rush and don't feel any stress or pressure around it. It's just information that's there for you. So take 2 weeks, take 6 weeks to change your diet and to change things if you want. But that's if you want to get healthy, PhD 60 will show you what to eat to be healthy. And that's really an important thing. So that be aware that there is those things. But you'll see we've got an amazing Facebook group. We've got so much support in all the resources that are there for everybody. And you'll see everybody who says, you know, it goes through the same sort of thing for maybe it's 2 hours they feel like that for, maybe it's a couple of days. But it's something that people completely transform their life. You know, we see reversal in heart disease and diabetes and, you know, chronic insomnia, pains and headaches. And it really is transforming so many people's lives around the world. And we're so excited about to share this information with people.
Got it. Encourage everybody to crack. Okay, I've got one last question for you. What about for people who are like triathletes or obstacle racers or marathoners, and they have some kind of an event that they've signed up for that they want to complete? And that event is, say, like 3 months away. How is it that they can somehow tell PH360 that or change up their workouts as something approaches? Like that's a little bit of feedback I got from people, too, who wanted something that would change according to like an upcoming race that they might have coming or something like that.
That's an awesome question. And what we're doing on that, Ben, at the moment is a lot of the research that we're doing with the athletes around the world. And we're building that into the system for future. At the moment, it's a system for health. This is what's going to get you healthy, period. Performance, I think we talked about this either last time or the time before, but there's a difference between health and a difference between performance. Often as athletes, we sacrifice our body, we sacrifice what's good for us to perform. And so if you are looking at anyone listening, if you're focused on a performance coming up, make sure you take note of all the areas of PH360, but some areas of your food and your training may be a little bit different if you're doing things that maybe aren't so great for your health because you want to perform better. Examples of that, if you're doing martial arts, even for example, you may go and spend you know a whole week or at least 3 or 4 days in saunas and in dehydrating yourself to make weight, which is completely unhealthy for your body and will actually be a detriment to your performance. But we do it because we want to get underweight. That's just a great obvious example of how we can our health suffers because of our performance, and it's happens all the time with a lot of triathletes, a lot of high end sports, contact sports, very much in any of the athletic departments. Is we'll often do things that aren't great for our body for the sake of performance. So if you are choosing performance over health, that's okay and it's completely fine, but just make sure you take into account that. And I'd always encourage that anyone who's doing that, work with your trainer who knows. So work with someone like Ben or someone else that you've got around that you work with, where you can actually have someone give you extra advice on top of what your health status is. So PH360 will tell you about your health, but any of the performance athletic side of things is something that's coming out in the future. So just be aware of that and be mindful of that.
Okay, cool. Very interesting. Well, there are some of you that may be listening that didn't get a chance to see the video walkthrough. And you can see the video walkthrough if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/gene testing, where there's also a link to the previous episode that I did with Matt. So if you want to dig into the PH360 stuff, that's a very, very good place to start. And again, we'll have all that embedded over there for you. In the meantime, Matt, I'm grateful that you came on the show today and shared all this stuff with us. I know that we'll probably get some more comments and stuff from folks who go in and try this out. If you do want to comment, again, you can comment over in the show notes too. And either Matt or I will be sure to give you a reply. But Matt, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this stuff with us.
Awesome, Ben. Thanks so much for allowing us to share it. And as you know, and hopefully everyone who's listening in, that we're doing this for a very big purpose and a very big mission. So this is just information that we'd love to share with everybody. Maybe, I don't know, Ben, if you want to put a link to my TED talk that I did on epigenetics and personalized health.
If you send me over a link to that and also a link to some of those research articles and resources that you talked about, I will put those into the show notes for sure.
Yeah, because that'll help people get a context about why we're doing what we're doing. And it really is just to provide information for everybody to find out who you are and what's right for you to be happy and healthy. And that's why we're doing this. It's a part of a very big mission. And this is just the first step. This is what we call a personal health assistant, really, is what PH360 is, that can just help you understand what's good for you and what can keep you happy and healthy. So we're excited about it and really grateful to be able to share it with your community, Ben. So thanks so much for having us on, mate, and looking forward to helping anyone in whichever way we can.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Talk to you soon. Thanks again. Thanks all for listening.
Yep. All right, folks, this is Ben Greenfield and Matt Ryman from PH360, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have a healthy week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.